Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we continue our journey in Sandeha Nivarini. So we are now in chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini, and we are dealing with the segment 7.4. And if you have been following this series, in this segment, Bhagwan is listing out one by one many directives for everyone who wants to become close to God to follow. In this chapter, Bhagwan as Bhakta is not asking any question, but Bhagwan as Bhagwan is delineating so many beautiful, powerful, potent tips which if any devotee follows with sincerity, he or she will earn the grace of the divine. And we have been contemplating on each of these points in our sessions of Vahini Satsang in the last few weeks. Each of these points is so powerful, and that is the reason why we are moving very slow. We want to spend as much time as possible in every direction that Bhagwan has given. And today we are in point number 40. Before we go on, let's once again recap. Let's listen to what Bhagwan has given us in this chapter. I will play for you chapter 7.4, the segment 7.4, which has the points number 31 to 41. We'll listen to them and then we'll move on with contemplating on point number 40.
Try as far as possible within your means to satisfy the needs of the poor, who are really Daridra Narayana. Share with them whatever food you have and make them happy. 32. Whatever you feel should not be done to you by others. Avoid doing such things to others. 33. For the faults and sins committed in ignorance, sincerely repent from your heart and try not to repeat the faults and sins again. Pray to God to bless you with the strength and the courage needed for you to do this. 34. Do not allow anything to come near you, which will destroy your eagerness and enthusiasm for God. Lack of enthusiasm will cause the decay of the strength of man. 35. Yield not to cowardice. Hold on to Ananda. 36. Do not get welled up when people praise you. Do not feel dejected when people blame you. 37. If among your friends anyone hates another and starts a quarrel, do not attempt to inflame them more. On the other hand, try to ensure that they come together with love. 38. Do not search for others' faults. Instead, search for your own mistakes yourself and throw them away. It is enough if you search and discover one fault of yours. That is better than discovering 10 faults in others. 39. Even if you cannot or will not do any punya or good deed, do not conceive or carry out any papa or bad deed. This is best. 40. Whatever people may say about the faults that you know are not in you, do not feel for it. As for the faults that are in you, try to correct them yourself, even before others point them out to you. Do not harbor anger or bitterness against persons who point out your faults. Do not retort, pointing out the faults of those persons themselves, but show your gratitude to them. Instead, if you try to discover their faults, that would be a greater mistake on your part. It is good for you to know your faults. It is no good to search the faults of those who pointed out your mistakes. This would be of no use. 41. Whenever you get a little leisure, do not spend it in talking about all and sundry, but utilize it in meditating on God, or it is good to render service to others.
So that is segment 7.4. If you see point number 38 and point number 40 are similar, we already discussed point number 38 2 weeks ago. Bhagwan says, do not search for others' faults. Instead, search for your own mistakes and throw them away. It is enough if you search and discover one fault of yours. That is better than discovering 10 faults in others. And if you see point number 40, Swami says, whatever people may say about the faults that you know are not in you, do not feel for it. As for the faults that are in you, try to correct them yourself, even before others point them out to you. Do not harbor anger or bitterness against persons who point out your faults. Do not retort pointing out the faults of those persons themselves, but show your gratitude to them. Instead, if you try to discover their faults, that would be a greater mistake on your part. It is good for you to know your faults. It is no good to search the faults of those who pointed out your mistakes. This would be of no use. So this is what Bhagwan says, and as I mentioned, both these points are leading towards the aspect of we not looking outside to find mistakes, but looking inside to find our own errors. The very fact that Bhagwan has mentioned it in 2 points, Bhagwan has elaborated this, it just shows how important this is for us, how important this is for someone who is on the spiritual path. It just shows how particular Bhagwan is that we should be very, very careful of this. If you analyze this point number 40, to me there are 4 things that stand out. First, Swami says, do not be disturbed when people say anything negative about you, when you know that is not true. That is the first part. Because Swami says, whatever people may say about the faults that you know are not in you, do not feel for it. So, don't allow anything that is said about you, which you think is not true, to affect you. That is the first part. The second, Swami is saying, suppose something that is said about you is true, suppose they mention about a weakness, and you feel that probably you have that weakness, then correct it. In fact, you should do it even before others get the chance to see that in you. That is the second point. The third that emerges from this paragraph is, do not have negative feelings about those who show what is not virtuous in you. It is not only that we should not have any negative feelings about those people who point out our mistakes. Swami says, on the other hand, you should be grateful to them. Thanks to them, you now know what are your follies and you can correct them. So be absolutely positive towards them. It is because of them that you are going to improve. It is because of them that you will become a better person. So do not have anything negative about someone who found something in you which is a mistake. If the mistake is genuine, accept it, be grateful to that person. If that mistake is not genuine, just don't bother. What you should not definitely do, Swami says, is what you should definitely avoid is to get mad with that person who shows you your errors. And having that feeling of revenge that how dare this person point out these flaws in me. I am going to show his mistakes. He found out one mistake in me, I'm going to find out 10 mistakes in him. This is what Swami says is an absolutely useless exercise. It is no good to search the faults of those who pointed out your mistakes. This would be of no use. This is what Bhagavan says. So, the first thing that emerges from this paragraph is don't be disturbed when people say anything about you which you know is not your true self. You be sure about yourself. In fact, I remember how Bhagavan used to give his own example and Swami used to say, see, many people criticize me. There are some who praise me. There are some who blame me. Some mention about whatever qualities that are in me. Some mention about things which are factually not true about me. I don't bother. For instance, Bhagavan says, someone calls me Buttatala Sai Baba, means the one who has a basket-like crown of hair. And Swami says, if they say that, by all means, I accept their remark because I do have bushy hair on my head, so I am fine with it. But if someone accosts me and says, Battatala Sai Baba, which means bald-headed Sai Baba, Bhagavan says, why should I accept it? When I have such beautiful crop of hair, if someone calls me bald, I don't give any credence to such a remark. When I don't have that quality, then I am least bothered with such a comment. I am not upset, I am not angry. I am what I am and I am filled with self-confidence about what is in me. Swami says, so it's very important that you don't get dejected or elated by others' remarks. You should have confidence about who you are. You should develop that self-confidence. This is what Bhagavan said during summer course in 1992, 24th May. Many times, it does happen that we get swayed by what people say about us. There are many people around us who have certain philosophies, certain way of living, certain manner of lifestyle, and many times you would find that they want to impose that on others. They want to let the world know that what they are doing is in fact the best way, and to ensure that others also copy them, they will go on trying to convince others of their philosophy. If they dress in a particular way, if they decorate their house in a particular way, if they own a particular property, if they own a particular position, a vehicle, they want to let everyone know that this is the way to be modern. This is the way the best people behave. But what we should do is, we should think for ourselves. What are we convinced about? Someone may have 20 pairs of clothes and change his clothes every single day or every single session. Someone else might have just 5 pair of clothes. It's not that he does not have money to buy 20 pair of clothes, but he's just happy to have 5. And he's confident about his choices. He's confident about how he wants to lead his life. He feels that this is not the way to best utilize the money he has. I can always wash and reuse these 5 pairs instead of filling my wardrobe with 20, 30 pairs. That could be his philosophy in life. In fact, this is what is the concept of minimalism, where you don't gather possessions, but you gather experiences. Learn to live with less and live happily. Others might call you a miser, but you know that you are wiser. So this is what Bhagwan says. Be confident about yourself. Be confident of your choices. Be confident of your belief systems. When so many people leave their jobs and when they have the opportunity to come and settle down in Prashantilam, you'll always find some relative saying that, how could you leave everything and go to Prashantilam and settle down? Do you even know what you're missing? You're going to live in a small room there. You're losing a job. You're losing so many opportunities. What are you going to get in Prashantilam? It is a little town. It's a small ashram. Don't leave the city. That is how many relatives, many friends could advise. But you know what you are doing. You are confident about your decision. Bhagwan once said during Ganesh Chaturthi in 2001, there are many people who will not do good and who will criticize those who do good. And in fact, Bhagwan said, many people criticized even devotees like Radha and Sakubai. Even they were criticized, and Radha and Sakubai always chanted the name of God. Ultimately, Krishna taught those people a lesson. And Swami then said, therefore, never criticize anyone. If someone develops good thoughts, follow them. You feel happy about it. Don't criticize. On many occasions, Bhagwan has narrated the story of Sakubai. Swami would say how she always chanted Ranga, Ranga, Ranga. Others made fun of her. When Bhagwan was in Pune in Harshi in 2009, 29th October, Bhagwan recalled the story of Sakubai, and Swami said how Sakubai had to go through a lot of ordeals after her marriage, but how ultimately Lord Panduranga came to her help and she reached Pandharpur and had the darshan of the Lord. In fact, if you go to the story of Sakubai, everything that Swami has told today gets so beautifully amplified. Swami narrates one more incident from the life of Sakubai. Once Sakubai complained to Saint Namdev that somebody was stealing the cow dung cakes she was making every day. And Namdev asked Sakubai, how do you identify the cow dung cakes made by you? And she said, I always recite the name of the Lord. No matter what I am doing, the cow dung cakes I prepare bear the trait of the name I chant. And she ran up to her home and brought a cow dung cake. She placed it close to the ear of Namdev, and that cow dung cake, they say, was chanting the name of God, Ranga, Ranga, Panduranga. When Namdev heard the cow dung cake pulsating with the name of the Lord, he was so stunned. It was so unbelievable. He in fact wondered, is this really true? Sakubai, right in front of Namadev, made another cow dung cake. And as she made the cake, with great love, she kept chanting Ranga, Ranga, Panduranga. And again when Namdev took that cow dung cake and heard it keeping close to his ear, he heard the names of the Lord. Prior to this episode, Namdev used to be known as Vamadeva. But after his meeting with Sakubai, Vamadeva changed his name. He started chanting the name of the Lord, and Vamadeva became Namdev because he was so engrossed in chanting the name of the Lord inspired by Sakubai. In fact, if you go to the story of Sakubai, she was born in Pandharpur to very pious parents. Her mother and father were devotees of Lord Panduranga. They had a very contented life. This couple, the parents of Sakubai, did not have children for long. And so they used to pray to Lord Vitthala. And it was after a lot of prayers that they were blessed with a girl child, and they called her Sakubai. She grew up into a beautiful, lovable girl. She imbibed in herself a deep sense of devotion to God. She would always assist her parents in worshipping the Lord, preparing flower garlands, sandalwood paste. She would tend to the cattle. She would help her mother in cooking. She was so sweet. She would never like to hurt anyone. She was unable to take it if someone was speaking harshly. She would never speak a harsh word to anyone. While Sakubai grew in Pandharpur with her devout parents, there was a town in the neighborhood of Pandharpur called Karavirapuram. And this town was on the banks of Krishna River. The town was known for its scenic beauty with green fields, flowering plants and fruit orchards. The fragrance of the flowers filled one's mind with tranquility, while the colorful fruits were feast to the eyes. In this town of Karavirapuram, there lived a pandit. Now this pandit was seemingly well versed in the Puranas, in some of the scriptures, but he was completely opposite in action when it came to living what is mentioned in the scriptures in real life. He was an incorrigible miser and never donated a single pie to the needy, even though he was extremely rich. They said that he did not drive away a crow even with his unwashed hand after meals, lest any morsel of rice should fall down and the crow might eat it. That is how people used to talk about him. He was absolutely, utterly selfish, as Bhagwan used to say, Swarthamo Saprejanamo. People had named him Krupanaraya. Krupana means a miser. Krupanaraya, he is the miserly one. He was known as the miser. His wife, Gayali Bai, was a quarrelsome woman and always was insulting people, picked up quarrels with everyone. Because they were rich, they used to always abuse others. And they never worshipped God, even though he knew the scriptures, but those words, the verses he used to recite from the scriptures was only to show off his knowledge but he never ever believed in the word of God, never ever had faith in the word of God, and only thing that mattered to them was accumulating wealth. And this couple had a son by name Oduraya. And the son also was like his father. He learned the scriptures, but he was zero when it came to action. And this person, Krupanaraya, even though he was a Brahmin, he was nowhere how a Brahmin should conduct, because he was cruel, cunning, unfriendly and selfish. Now, being brought up by such parents, obviously Oduraya had same qualities as his father. But there was one problem for this couple. They were not able to find a bride for their son, because in their entire town, everyone knew about their nature. They were so ill reputed that nobody dared to offer their daughter to Oduraya. In fact, everyone felt that it was less evil to throw the girl into the well than allow the girl to go to that home. They knew it would be hell for anyone who became a member of that family. And since there was no one willing to give their daughter in marriage to their son Oduraya, this Krupanaraya had to go out of their town in search of a daughter-in-law. And in their search, Krupanaraya happened to come to Pandharpur and to the house of Sakubai. When they came into this house, when they saw Sakubai, they were so impressed. The family was so nice, they were so polite, they were so courteous. And Sakubai brought water to help them wash their feet. She helped her mother in the kitchen. She was serving food. She was so sweet and so beautiful and so humble. Krupanaraya did not think even for a split second what her fate would be if she fell into the hands of his nagging wife. All he wanted was a daughter-in-law, and he felt that Sakubai would be fantastic to have. And without wasting a single minute, he proposed the alliance to Sakubai's father. And the poor father of Sakubai, who did not know much about Krupanaraya, felt that it was indeed an honor that such a wealthy person was asking the hand of his daughter. He thought his daughter would have a nice, comfortable life. And so he immediately agreed. In fact, he felt that maybe this was the blessing of Lord Vitthala. Lord Vitthala was blessing their family with such a nice alliance. Daughter is going to be in a family which is well placed. And so the muhurat was fixed for the wedding, the auspicious time. And the poor Brahmin made arrangements wonderfully for the bridegroom's party, and the marriage went on a grand scale. Gayalibai had brought some presents for Sakubai's parents and some gold jewelry for the bride. And really, Sakubai's parents felt that their daughter was lucky. They were so happy that he was going into such a rich home. And those were days of child marriage. Sakubai was probably just 12, 13 years old. In fact, her parents were reluctant to send her at that age to someone's house, but this was the tradition in those days. One thing that was Sakubai's constant companion was what a saint had taught her once, and that was a shloka on Krishna. Sakubai would always chant this hymn on Krishna. And when she went to her in-law's house, even there, she would always chant the name of Krishna, and her cruel mother-in-law never liked that. Mother-in-law would make her work from dawn till dusk. She had to pound paddy, churn the grains, clean the vessels, store water, wash the clothes and so on. But whatever she did was never enough for her mother-in-law. Mother-in-law would continuously nag her, point out silly mistakes in whatever Sakubai did, blame her, not only blame her, but blame even her mother for not teaching her well household chores. And to make matters worse, Sakubai had to eat always after everyone in the family ate, and she had to eat whatever was left. Every time, the food would be cold by the time it was her turn to eat, and many times what would be left would be very little. And many days she didn't feel like eating. But Sakubai never complained. She didn't tell about her pains to anyone. She would only cry out to Vithala. Often she would think, in my father's home, even though we were not rich, but still we would always have some little extra which we could give someone who was in need. We were able to do at least a little charity. At least a handful of rice we were able to give as alms. But here there is so much of wealth, there is abundance, but I have no liberty to offer alms. If she did anything like that, her in-laws would pour insult on her. And Sakubai had no one to go to except her Lord Vithala. She only prayed to God, saying, "O Lord, bless these people with good thoughts. Bless these people so that their mind changes. Please ensure that these in-laws of mine are granted sadbuddhi." Once when Sakubai's parents came to see her, her mother-in-law did not allow her to spend much time with her mother. By the time Sakubai was looking pale and weak, her clothes were soiled, her hair had become ruffled for want of oil. Mother-in-law shouted at her if she spent more time with her mother, and subsequently her mother-in-law shouted at her mother also. Since they were a poor family, Sakubai's parents did not know what to do. In fact, the neighbors there told Sakubai's parents, "Didn't you have a well in your town?" Meaning, why did you send your girl to this family? It would have been even better for you to throw your girl into a well than send her into this hell. The parents wanted to take their daughter away, but the in-laws of Sakubai did not allow that. In fact, Sakubai's parents were ridiculed for their poverty and they were asked to leave. Only thing Sakubai's parents could do was, as they left, secretly they gave Sakubai a statue of Lord Vithala. And their last words to Sakubai were, "Sakubai, Vithala is your everything. Let his will be done." and Tsukubai knew. Her parents cannot do anything for her. She knew that she has no one in the world except her Vitthala. And she would cry out to Vitthala every single day. She would do all the work that was mandated for her. Never complain. Never tell anything to anyone. Her ananya bhakti, her unflinching devotion to God, allowed her to survive and thrive. Probably anyone else could not have survived. Anyone else could have done something drastic. For little things, people lose their patience and they go to the extreme step. But here was Tsukubai, who was going through hell, but she held on to her Lord, she held on to Vitthala, and she derived all her strength by chanting the name of the Lord. Every day she would look at the statue of Lord Vitthala, and she had kept it secretly because she knew that if her mother-in-law noticed that, that would become another reason for her to torture her. So she hid that statue of Lord Vitthala in her sari and continued to do the household chores, constantly talking to her Lord, constantly in conversation with her Lord. But unfortunately, a suspicious, vicious mother-in-law caught her red-handed talking to Lord Vitthala, and she took that statue and flung it away, paying a deaf ear to her pleadings. Mercilessly, she tortured her. And on top of it, she complained against her to her son. And her son always took the side of his mother. The neighbors knew what Tsukubai was going through. They would sympathize with her. But Tsukubai always said, Vitthala is my father, Vitthala is my mother, Vitthala is my everything. He will take care of me. I don't have to worry. He will take care of me. She became bony and weak. But constant thought of Lord Vitthala, constant chanting of Lord Vitthala, constant pining for Lord Vitthala, gave her the strength to carry on with life.
Vithoba Nivu Vina Leraya Raksha Yenduki Pariksha पड़ जाल पराकिदि मेला मर विन वेल दया निलया ननु गाव गाने रमा विठोबा ननु गाव गाने रमा विठोबा श्रम पड़ जाल पराकिदि मेला मुरवि न वेल दया निलया रुक्मिणी देवी नगरी लोना कोलुवै उन्नावो చలి సేవలోనా జగమే మరచి మురిసి పోయేవో.
దట్ వాజ్ ఎ సాంగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది సక్కుబాయి బుర్రకథ డన్ బై ది స్టూడెంట్స్ వే బ్యాక్ ఇన్ 2004. Wherein Sakubai is calling out to the Lord in pain. They say that it was during one of this period when she was going through extreme hardships, that one day when she had gone to fetch water from the river, one of her neighbors called Shantabai told her about a group of pilgrims who were going for the darshan of the Lord in Pandharpur. And these devotees had walked for miles, because in those days there were no transport facilities. In fact, the Shantabai told Sakubai, "Why don't you join? Come, you also come. Let's go. You always chant the name of Vitthala. Why don't you also come? It would be nice. We will have the darshan of the Lord and we'll come back." But Sakubai said, "No, no, no. I cannot do this. My in-laws would be very upset." And even as this conversation was happening, her mother-in-law and husband appeared there. They saw that Sakubai was so happy talking to them, and Sakubai was in ecstasy thinking about going to Pandharpur. She was in ecstasy chanting the name of Lord Vitthala, and the mother-in-law dragged her by her plait and tied her to a pole in the house, saying, "How dare you even think of going?" She said, "No, I was not going. I was only talking to them." Mother-in-law said, "No, no. Don't even entertain such thoughts. You cannot leave this home and go. Who will do all this work?" They were afraid that she would run away from home. Sakubai, tied to the pole, just continued to chant the name of Vitthala. "Oh Vitthala, oh Vitthala, I only wanted to see you once. Please fulfill my desire." And as she was chanting the name of Vitthala, tied to that pole in her house, they say around midnight, Lord Vitthala, disguised himself as a woman, appeared there. And the Lord said, "Dear Saku, you want to have the darshan of Lord Vitthala, isn't it? Go ahead. I will look after all your work. I will be here till you come back." But Sakubai says to that woman, "That is so kind of you. But if I go with you, you will be ill-treated by my in-laws, and I don't want you to suffer. It does not matter. You please go ahead. You convey my pranams, my salutations to God. You do that on my behalf." But this woman insists, "No, no, 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 no. You go and you convey my pranams. I will stay in your place and I will serve your in-laws. Don't worry." And so saying, this woman unties the ropes of Sakubai, and she herself gets tied up in Sakubai's place. This is the drama that the Lord does. The Lord comes in the disguise of a woman and frees Sakubai, and himself gets tied to the pole. And the Lord says, "Go happily, Sakubai. Go happily to Pandharpur. You participate in the celebrations. Don't worry about what is happening in the home. Be rest assured of my help. And that is how Sarko Bhai gladly leaves the house and joins the sadhus, joins the saints and the holy people who were going to Pandharpur. And all the sadhus, they say they were so surprised at the glow on her face. They used to feel that it is not some woman, it is definitely a goddess. They used to feel it is goddess Lakshmi who is traveling with them. They used to tell her that somehow we feel that God is beside you. You are like a divine mother. You are like God who has manifested. That is how the sadhus used to feel about Sarko Bhai. And it is said, the Lord was so impressed with Sarko Bhai's devotion that even before Sarko Bhai reached Pandharpur, Lord Vithala manifested in front of her. Lord Vithala, along with Rukmini, his consort, gave darshan to Sarko Bhai. It was almost as if Lord Vithala could not wait to give darshan to Sarko Bhai. And it was a darshan not just for Sarko Bhai, but for all the devotees who were with her. Sarko Bhai fell at the feet of the Lord. And the Lord lifted her, caressed her and said, I am really pleased with your jnana and vairagya, with your wisdom, with your renunciation, with your love. Your difficult times are coming to an end. Just have little more patience. So saying, Lord Vithala disappeared. And all these people were so grateful to Sarko Bhai because it was only because of her that they had had the darshan of God. And then they proceeded towards their pilgrimage, chanting the name of Vithala all the while. Sarko Bhai was thrilled when she saw the temple pillars. She had a holy bath in the Chandrabhaga river. She had the darshan of the Lord with flowers, with incense. What a feast it was to the eyes. The Lord, who was standing arms akimbo, arms on his shoulders, in that marble floor temple, Sarko Bhai gazed at this form from top to toe, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, his ear studs, his broad eyes, his Kaustubha, his holy garments, and Sarko Bhai completely forgot about the world. She worshipped the Lord with flowers, fruits, went around the temple and sang the glory of the Lord, and she just continued to be there, continued to lose herself in the joy of seeing the Lord. Back in her house, the in-laws did not untie Sarko Bhai, the God, Lord Vishnu, Lord Vithala, who had tied himself as Sarko Bhai. For some days, Lord remained there in the house, tied to that pole. But after a few days, there was a little transformation in the heart of the husband of Sarko Bhai, and he felt sorry for her and he untied the ropes and asked her to go on with her daily duties, household duties. And this God turned Sarko Bhai, did every job that the Sarko Bhai used to do. God went to the river to fetch water, cleaned the vessels, washed the clothes, pounded the grain. He served food, and all the in-laws now are seeing the food is so tasty. Food is like nectar. What has happened? They were so enamored with everything that Sarko Bhai was doing. The family ate heartily, praising the dishes that were prepared. Only thing that irritated Gayali Bhai was this Sarko Bhai constantly chanting the name of God. And she would say, don't chant that bad word. God in the guise of Sarko Bhai did not pay heed. God served them well, but he kept chanting the name of Sarko Bhai, chanting the name of Vithala. Yes, God was indeed chanting the name of Sarko Bhai. For the sake of Sarko Bhai, God did everything God could go to any extent. And there, the Sakubai in Pandharpur was so happy seeing the Lord that in her ecstasy, in her absolute concentration, absolute joy and thrill of being with the Lord, she left her body. One day she just told, "Lord, let me join you." And in that very instant, her soul merged. Jivatma joined Paramatma. And all the devotees, they say, were witness to this scene. She just discarded her body and became one with the Lord. While this is what happened in Pandharpur, back home at her home, there was God who was Sakubai, who the world knew. Nobody knew that it is God who is taking the form of Sakubai. He was doing all the duties. And there in Pandharpur, there, the devotees took the physical body to the Chandrabhaga river and performed the funeral rites. And one of them came back to Karavirapuram to report the news. Now this was a very perplexing situation for the Lord's concert for Rukmini, because God had promised Sakubai to stay back till she returned. And now, how will God go back if Sakubai does not return? Here Sakubai has merged with the Lord. How will Rukmini get back her husband, get back Lord Vitthala? And so they say that the Divine Mother appeared in the dream of those devotees and said, "My Lord is in Sakubai's house. So you please bring the mortal remains of her. Keep this as a secret." And the devotees followed the directions of the Divine Mother. They share their dream among themselves and they bring the mortal remains of Sakubai. And they say even these mortal remains were chanting the name of the Lord. They collected them in a golden platter and placed them humbly before the goddess. And Rukmini was so pleased with their actions that she manifested herself before them and said, "You will be blessed by my Lord. You will be blessed by my Lord." And they say that Sakubai came back to life from those ashes when Rukmini touched her. Rukmini blessed Sakubai and said, "Oh Saku, my Lord, being impressed by your love in serving your in-laws, now is serving your in-laws in your form. You please go back to your house and release my Lord. You please chant the name of the Lord and everyone is going to be transformed. Your in-laws will be transformed. Everyone will be transformed. And at the end, you will attain the highest. You will be liberated." And accordingly, Sakubai went back to her village. She met God. She met God who was acting as Sakubai at the riverbed with a pitcher of water. She fell at the feet of God and she said, "Oh God, what a great sinner I am. I made you do the menial jobs at home. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Only because of you I was able to go to Pandharpur and have darshan. I have only one request to make. Please ensure that I get this chance to go to Pandharpur at least once every year." And that is the only prayer that she makes to the Lord. And God tells, "Do not worry. Your ananya bhakti, your absolute, undiluted devotion pleased me so much that I was doing all the household jobs in your house. Don't worry, all your family members will become my devotees through you." And the Lord gives prasadam to Sakubai. Sakubai comes home with a pitcher of water. And just then one of the pilgrims steps into her house to convey the tragic news of the demise of Sakubai to her in-laws. And the in-laws are absolutely confused. "What are you saying? You're saying she passed away, but here is Sakubai. And then Sakubai narrates the entire sequence of events, how Lord came as an old lady and untied her and allowed her to go to Pandharpur, and how the Lord was serving them all these days, and how she met the Lord just half an hour ago, and how the Lord finally did this entire drama to come to her rescue. And all the relatives now felt so terrible that they were torturing God, that they had never understood the devotion of Sakubai, that they were cruel to the Almighty Himself. And that is when they fell at the feet of Sakubai. And Sakubai, even then, had no ill feeling towards them. And she only said, "You had punished me only for my good. I should actually thank you. Because of the ill treatment meted out to me, I prayed more sincerely to God, and today I had the vision of God. I have no reason to have anything negative feeling about you." And that is how the transformation in that house happened. And they all follow the path of Sakubai, and they say Sakubai continued to guide hundreds and thousands onto this path of love. She lived for many years, and finally, in her last moment, she merged after inspiring hundreds of people into the path of Ananya Bhakti. The reason I mention this story is Bhagwan mentions about Sakubai. But if you see what Swami has given in point number 41, whenever people say about things negative about you, when you know it is not true, don't be bothered. And that's what happened to Sakubai. Whatever she was made to go through, she just went through. She knew that what they were saying about her was not true, but she didn't complain. She just did whatever she felt was right. And Swami says, don't have negative feelings about those who are not nice to you. And that is what, she didn't have any negative feelings about them. She didn't want to take revenge. She was only praying to her Lord. In fact, she was grateful to them, because as she says, thanks to you, I got the grace of God. And that says, Swami says, that is how you will become better. Don't try to become mad with people who show you your errors. Focus on God. Focus on how you can become better. Look at that as an opportunity to become closer to God. Don't think of how you can retaliate. Don't think how you can point out 10 mistakes in the person who pointed out one mistake in you. Be grateful to that person and think how you can make your life better. And I think the life of Sakubai is a beautiful illustration of this. Whatever she went through, she attained the highest, because she was not willing to see the flaws in her in-laws. She was only lost in her love for God. And it is because of that that God was so moved, that God came down and God took her form and joyfully did what she was doing. That is the extent to which we can draw the grace of the divine to us. As they say, with little faith you can go to heaven, but with great faith heaven will come to you. And that is what you see in the life of Sakubai. So dear listeners, there is so much that one can go on. When you we'll contemplate on these points that Bhagwan has given, but today we just took the point number 40. There is one more point in the segment 41, but as I said, there is no end to these beautiful stories of the Lord. As you listen to Bhagwan's these directions, you are always filled with so many beautiful lives who have lived that message. We need to draw inspiration from their lives and make our lives his message like these people have done. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout this day. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. If you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering this little effort at his lotus feet in all humility, I pray that we move on in this path with added determination, added zeal, and enjoy loving the Lord and living his message in our lives. Thank you so much. Sairam.